Hey, how you doing? It's Pastor Jay. Welcome to our podcast. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for listening. I pray that this word blesses your spirit, empowers you wherever you are, whether it be your home, your workplace, the gym, or even if you're riding in the car. Look, let's advance the kingdom by spreading this word with whoever you come in contact with. That is my ultimate goal, is to spread the kingdom and the message of Jesus Christ. I love you, and once again, here's today's message. Be blessed. Stay in this mode of worship. God, we love you. We thank you. We honor you for life. We thank you for this opportunity to worship you, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that this message, Lord God, that is about to go forth, Lord God, that it will fall on good ground, that it will cause transformation in your people's lives. We thank you, Lord God, that we make you smile, Lord God, because you make us smile, Lord God. So we thank you for your love. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for your understanding and wisdom and knowledge. I pray, Lord God, that you move Lester Bell Jr. out of the way and that you allow Holy Spirit to speak through me like never before. So, God, we thank you that your people's heart are ready. Their minds are open, Lord God. Their emotional body is clear. Their mental body is clear. And we thank you, Lord God, that they will receive spiritually today like never before. So we thank you. We love you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. That song that they were singing, wasn't it an amazing song? Don't you want to make God smile? And in I don't know if you were listening to the lyrics, but they said, better is one day in your courts. And that really reminded me of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. And it says this. It says, so dear friends, so don't let this one thing escape your notice. A single day counts like a thousand years to the Lord Yahweh, and a thousand years count as one day. This is what verse 9 says. It says, this means that contrary to man's perspective, the Lord is not late with his promise to return as some measure lateness, but rather his delay simply reveals his loving patience toward you, because he does not want any to perish, but all to come to repentance. So if you are watching this and you desire to be saved, I know we usually do this at the end of the message, but there's going to be a number that comes up. I want you to text the word save to that number, because look, I don't want you to wait until it's too late. I want you to have a relationship with Christ. I want you to have a relationship with God. I want you to have a relationship with Holy Spirit. Because when you do, that's when your life will transform forevermore. Because one moment with God can change your life forever. I want you to remember that. One moment with God can change your life forever. And so I want you to text the word save to the number coming up on the screen. Someone will get in contact with you, and we will pray the prayer of salvation with you. And guess what? We will rejoice with you. And so this scripture right here, I know it's not about praise team. They did an amazing job. They did an amazing job. Let's give God some praise. Let's give God some emotional praise, but let's give God some technological praise. So put some hands in it, put some likes, put some loves. Make sure you share this post. But I know my message isn't about this morning, but I just feel led to go here because it says that one day counts as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years counts as one day. And it says that the Lord is not late with his promise to return. And so I want to just prophetically speak to you, for those of you who have think you have been waiting for a promise to come to pass. See, God's timing and our timing, they don't match up, because 1,000 years equals one day, and 1 day equals 1,000 years. So that means that to me, that time is a construct. So time is a construct that we have in our mind. But God's promise is not slack. And I just want to let you know that God is going to fulfill his promises to you. He's going to fulfill every promise that he's promised you. And I just want you to know that God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. He hadn't forgotten about you. He loves you. And so, look, I know this is not what the series is about. I know we started off last week, 2021, with God. But I just felt pressed to just let you know, look, don't wait. Don't wait until it's too late. Have a relationship with God now. Have a relationship with God now. So awesome, awesome, awesome. So with that being said, we know we are in our series. I thought I was going to try to button this, but you know I'm up again. I'm not sitting down. So I like to move around. I can't move around too much, get too much feedback. But if you would, turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. And hopefully I will not be before you long today. I know I was up a little long last week, but I've been working out, so I can be long. So Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. And we are in our 2021 series, 2021. We're using, I don't know if you understood last week, but we're using the word one as our launch point. So 2021 with God was the message last week. How many of you all were blessed by that message last week? 2021 with God. Today we're going to talk about something, and we're going to talk about some current events that happened this week as well. So Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. And this is what the word of God says. It says, "Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, 'Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly.' They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth.' Verse 5, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, 'Indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them.'" Nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. And so I know everybody watching this, I know we all experienced January 6, 2021, and it was an appalling scene, but it was not to my surprise. I wasn't surprised by it. Everybody watched the news unfold on CNN or Fox or MSNBC or ABC or CBS, we all watched it unfold. And I want to just stop to let you know, look, if you are not careful, if you watch too much news, you will be inundated by the news. And you will be so inundated by the news that it will cause emotional anxiety, and it will cause an anxiety that makes you worried about the future. But as kingdom citizens, we do not have to worry about what will happen next as long as we are one with God. So 2021 with God. So whatever is happening in the world, whoever lays their head on the White House pillow, whoever does whatever, whenever, all we have to do is know that our relationship with God is secure. See, when your relationship with God is secure, what happens in a surface realm world, it won't affect you. So I want you to be mindful of how you take in the news. Because if not, what would happen? I'm telling you, I've been there. You'd be filled with anxiety. You'd be worrying about what's going to happen next. You'll be listening to extremes, and those extremes will make you go to an extreme, and you will say, well, we're going towards this, and we're going towards that, and we're going towards this, and we're going towards that. And guess what? The more you speak it, the more we'll see it. And so I want you to just be mindful of the news. Now, I'm not saying the news is bad. Pastor Jay, I don't normally watch the news. I really don't, because it's filled with so much negativity. And so I've learned that for myself, to keep my emotional body clear, to keep my mental body clear, I cannot stay focused on the news. And so January 6, 2021 did not take God by surprise. It didn't take God by surprise. God wasn't like, oh man, what's happening down there in the States? Like, what's happening in the United States Capitol? What's happening at the Capitol? Because you see God like, oh man, I didn't even know that was gonna happen today. I need to check my calendar. I need to check my Rolodex. But when you are truly one with God, which we talked about last week, what happens in the surface realm world will not affect you because you trust in God. See, when you trust in man-made systems like government, that takes your focus off the kingdom of God. And the scripture says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. See, we had to take our focus from surface realm to the kingdom of God. Because guess what? Let me tell you what government is. Government, democracy, socialism, capitalism, is all a failed attempt to recreate the kingdom of God. That's all it is. It's just a failed attempt to recreate the kingdom of God. And so what man has done, man has said, okay, let's make this system, let's make this protocol, let's make this government so we can replace the kingdom of God. I was reading in Samuel today, and it was about the people talking about they want a king. God, we want a king. They were telling Samuel, we want a king, we want a king, we want a king. And Samuel was like, well, why y'all want a king? And Samuel was like, I'm judging the land. Why do y'all want a king? And God had to come and remind him, say, hey, look, the people, they don't want a king because of you. They want to put a king before me. And so God gave him a king. He gave him Saul. We all know what happened with Saul. But government is just a man-made system to try to mimic what the kingdom of heaven is. So it's a failed plan to mimic what the kingdom of heaven is. And so as I watch this all unfold on January 6, 2021, because you may be watching this in 2022, so just go back in your history book, just go back in McGraw-Hill, just go back a few pages. It's not that far back. Just go back a few pages. But as I was watching this, God pointed something out to me. And if you watch things with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will point out certain things to you. He will show you certain things. And what God pointed out to me, he pointed out some underlying principles at work. And so what are those principles? I know you're asking, Pastor Jay, how can you say that what happened on January 6th, how can you say there was some principles there? There was a principle at play, and it's an important principle. And what is that principle? That principle is this. It is oneness, one accord, the same mind. And so although the people were using the principle in the wrong way, see, the people applied it. They applied the principle of being on one accord. And in their minds, they were successful because they felt like they got to Speaker Pelosi's office. They felt like they got to where Vice President Pence was. They felt like they stormed the building. They blocked the barricades. But to me, this whole situation, it wasn't by coincidence. It wasn't by coincidence. That's just how I feel personally. But principally, they all applied this principle, which is one accord. And so we as kingdom citizens should use the principle of being on one accord to see a change happen locally, nationally, and internationally. See, a lot of times we as kingdom citizens, we don't use the principles according to the scripture. We don't apply the principles. And when we don't apply the principles, then we don't have power. You see, when the people, the rioters or the protesters or whatever you want to call them, the mob, whatever the news, whatever you desire to call them, what they did was they had one mind, they had one plan, And in their mind, they felt like they succeeded in that one mind and one plan. So one of the reasons why the church is not powerful as it should be is because we are too busy disagreeing with one another. We have this viewpoint here, we got this viewpoint there, we got this judgment here, we got that judgment there. We feel like God is saying this to me here, God is saying that to you there. And so it's hard for us to be on one accord. But the church, the church should be, the church is unshakable. The kingdom of God, rather, is unshakable. And so when we get on one accord and when we all have the focus of being on one accord, we will have power. And I believe God is calling us back to being one with him and being on one accord to advance the kingdom of God. I believe he's really calling us back to that. So I feel like that's why 2020 was a great reset. We're going to see some things happen in 2021. But ultimately, I believe God is calling us back to being one with him and being one with another, which we will talk about next week, 2021 with another. Because when you are one with another, you're not going to do anything to hurt them. You're not going to do anything. See, when you love God, he teaches you how to love you. Then he teaches you how to love we. And so when we understand that, then we will treat others the way God created us to treat others, with love. And so my first point is this. Being on one accord takes agreement. Being on one accord takes agreement. So the people on January 6th, they were all in agreement with one another, right? Because they said, we're going to do this at this time, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this. They were all in agreement with one another. Let's go to Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Amos chapter 3, verse 3. And this is what the word of God says. It says, do two walk together except they make an appointment and have agreed. So if we're going to go to the same place, then we have to agree on the place that we're going. I can't say to you, well, I want to go north, and you say, well, I want to go east. Because if we're going two different places, then we are divided. And that's what's happening with the church right now. We're so focused on the wrong things, and we're going two different places, and we're wondering why God, we're wondering why we don't have power. We're wondering why we haven't succeeded in things. We're wondering why we are still the same old when we come in, when we leave out. It's because we have not gotten on one accord. We have not gotten our focus straight. We have put our focus on the wrong things. And so when we put our focus on the king, then we can put our focus on being on one accord. See, God wants us to be on one accord. God wants us to be in agreement with one another. Because when I agree with you and you agree with me, then we have power and we see things done. We see things done. So listen, it's hard for us to agree with one another if we don't like each other. If I don't like you, it's hard for me to agree with you. If you don't like me, it's hard for you to agree with me. And a lot of times in church, a lot of people don't like a lot of people. I don't like these people over here. I don't like these people over here. They don't look like me. They don't think like me. They don't act like me. They don't dress like me. So I don't like them. And you hadn't even had an opportunity to even meet a person. See, don't go by somebody's preconceived notion of if you should like a person or not. And that's what's happening a lot in church. We come in, we see somebody that's not the church type that we think they should be, and we shun them. But that's not love. That's not love. God is calling us back to love. And so it is hard for us to agree with another if we have a preconceived idea of who that person is. So if I have an idea of who I think you are before I even meet you, then it's hard for me to understand who you are because I have just put a blockade in front of understanding. So this is how it is. So here you are on this side. Here I am on this side. Somebody tells me something about you on this side, and I have just put a blockade in front of you because I think that you are this type because I listen to this person right here. See, we have to move past that. See, that's really an immature spirit. We have to move past that. We have to understand that, look, I'm going to love you. I'm not going to go off somebody else's idea about you. I'm going to love you for who you are. And so the enemy knows the power of agreement and being on one accord. We saw it in play January 6th. The enemy knows. He knows the power. See, I always tell you all the time how one raindrop, I know you probably saw some some spit drops come from my mouth because I'm a little excited today, this morning. But one raindrop here and one raindrop there, it doesn't really have much power, does it? Do you see a raindrop fall in Chickasaw? You see a raindrop fall in Theodore? You see a raindrop fall in Axis or Saraland, and it moves the whole Mobile County? No, you don't. But when you see a tsunami, when you see water flowing in one direction, guess what? It moves everything in its path. And that's exactly what happened on January 6th. They were moving like the tsunami, and it moved everything in their path. But when we take that principle and use it for the right reasons, can you just imagine how much power we will have? Can you just see how much power we will have if we just say, hey, look, I'm going to put my ideas to the side. I want you to put your ideas to the side. And we're going to focus on advancing the kingdom of God. We're going to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We're going to do those things instead of saying, okay, well, I'm going to do my thing here. You're going to do your thing here. And a lot of times when we're doing our own separate thing, we're divided. And so the enemy knows that there's power in being on one accord. The enemy knows that there's power in agreement. And so listen, I believe this message is going to wake up a lot of people to understand once we get on one accord as kingdom citizens, there will be nothing we can't do. There will be nothing we can't do when we get on one accord. When we say, look, I'm going to sow my gift, you're going to sow your gift, we're going to sow our gift into this, then I believe we will see the capital C church flourish like never before. And God is calling for his bride to flourish because we represent him. And so since we represent him, then that means that he wants to see us flourish. He wants us to see his kingdom order and his kingdom reign here on earth so that we can have power, so that we can bring souls to Christ. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. God wants us to bring souls to him. But if we're divided, if I got a different idea of what I think this is, you got a different idea and this, that, and instead of sowing our ideas into a greater. See, we are a part of a greater movement. I know we are watching this, and I know we will watch this in the future. I know eventually we'll come back to the building, but we are a part of something greater than we are. And so since we are a part of something greater than we are, wouldn't it be great if we could sow our greatness into what we are already great, what is greater than us, and we can see it flourish even more? And so listen, when we come together as one, we will see walls fall down. I've seen it happen before. When someone surrounds someone with love, then the walls of defense falls down, the walls of preconceived ideas fall down, the walls of misunderstanding falls down because we've surrounded that person with love. I've seen it happen when someone is given nothing but love. I've seen whole lives change just from being surrounded by love. So let's go to Joshua chapter 6, verse 20. Joshua chapter 6, verse 20. See, we as kingdom citizens, we have not received the revelation of being on one accord and being in agreement with one another. Because when I agree with you, see, the scripture says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. And so when we are gathered together and we are focused on seeking the kingdom of God, we're focused on advancing the kingdom of God, then we see power, we see things shift, we see whole atmospheres shift, we see whole lives change because we are all on one accord. See, the people on the day of Pentecost, they were all in one place, all on one accord. And guess what? Holy Spirit came and lives were changed. Lives were even so much changed from just the upper room. People outside of that room, lives were changed as well because they were all on one accord. So when they were all on one accord, guess what happened? They multiplied. And I believe when we get on one accord, and I believe NBCC, we are getting on one accord, I believe we're going to see NBCC multiply. And I just see that. I just prophetically speak that we're going to, this time next year, this time 6 months from now, we're going to look like a totally different church. And it's going to be a good thing. It's not going to be a bad thing. It's going to be a good thing. So Joshua chapter 6, verse 20. And this is what the scripture says. Let me give you a little context before I read verse 20. So Joshua had heard from the Lord, and they were in the city of Jericho, right? And so Joshua got some instructions about marching around the wall 7 times. We're not going to kill Rahab and her family. We're going to keep them safe. They put the scarlet outside the door. Don't kill them. But when we walk around the 7th time and shout, the walls are going to fall down. So I just want to give you some little context there. If you want to go back and read the whole story, go to Joshua chapter 6, and you can read the whole story. For time's sake, we had to just cut it to 6 and 20, because I could read the whole story to you, but that'll cut up all my time. So I got about 2 more hours on the clock. I'm just joking. So Joshua chapter 6, verse 20 says this. It says, "So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city." They took the city. So when they were all on one accord, see, one person was like, "Well, I want to shout like this. Well, I want to shout like this. Well, I want the trumpet to blow like this. I want the trumpet to blow like that. I want this to be like this." No, they were all on one accord. They heard the sound of the trumpet, and then they shouted with a great shout. And so they were on one accord. So I'm going to speak this for NBCC this year and years to come, that we will be a church of multiple ethnicities, multiple generations who are all on one accord, who advance the kingdom of God. I'm going to just go ahead and put that prophetically out there, that we're going to be a different church. We're going to do church different. We're not just going to be a one-colored church. We're going to be a multicolored church, because we serve a God of creativity who makes fingerprints unique. So if I look at my fingerprints, you look at your fingerprints, they look different. They are unique. There is no one in the same fingerprints. They all look different, because God is that unique of a God. So I believe God does not just call us to be a one-colored church. God calls us to be a multicolored church. God calls us to be a multi-generational church. He calls us to be a multi-ethnic church. And I believe that NBCC is going to be that church, because I want our church to look like heaven. Because I believe once we get on one accord, not with just one generation, not with just one ethnicity, but I believe once all multiple ethnicities and multiple generations get on one accord, I believe we'll be able to transcend time. I feel like we'll be able to transcend racial barriers. I feel like we'll be able to transcend ethnic thoughts. I feel like we'll be able to transcend all of those things. And God wants us to transcend those barriers so that we can reach the lost. But if we are too focused on keeping one color, one generation, then we'll never really see change. We may see change in our generation. We may see change in our ethnicity. But I believe God is calling us to see change in every ethnicity. God is calling us to see change in every generation. And so that's important to me. I want NBCC to look like heaven. I want NBCC to look like heaven, and NBCC will look like heaven. And so being on one accord, number one, takes agreement. What else does being on one accord takes? This leads me to my next point, which is this. Being on one accord takes having the same mind. Being on one accord takes having the same mind. So let's go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. I only got a few more minutes, so bear with me. I won't be up here too much longer. But Philippians chapter 2, verse 2, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. And this is what the Word of God says. It says, "Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind." And so the people on January 6th, they were of one mind. I know you keep hearing me talk about that, but I want to use that as a reference. They were of one mind. They had one mind to go and storm the Capitol building and our nation's capital. I know a lot of people are having a problem with that. The nation's capital building and our nation's capital, right? And so they had one mind. They had one mind. They had one mind to destroy. That's what they were doing. They were climbing walls. They were busting windows. They were taking letters from Speaker Pelosi's office. They were trying to get the votes so they couldn't be certified. They were of the same mind. They were of one mind. And so mind here is the word phronio in the Greek, which means to have understanding and to think. So the people, they had an understanding to think a certain way. And see, a lot of times we have an understanding, but sometimes our understanding lives in an echo chamber. So we hear, we are more likely to agree with someone who agrees with us, because we don't like rejection. You don't like rejection. Nobody likes rejection. So we're more likely to agree with those who agree with us. And the people on January 6th, they were agreeing with the people who agree with them. They were in this echo chamber. They were saying, okay, well, the election was fraud, and the votes were from dead people, and they did not, the Democratic Party didn't win by a landslide, and they were living in an echo chamber. And so they were hearing, what's an echo chamber? An echo chamber is this. Just imagine you are in a chamber by yourself, right? And you're saying something, and it's bouncing off. And so what's happening is people are saying things, it's bouncing off, and it's coming back to them. So they agree with that because they have built an echo chamber for them to agree with. And so since they are agreeing with the echo chamber, then their thinking has changed. Because when you are in agreement with something, your thinking changes about it. Your understanding changes about it. Your perspective changes about it. See, when we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then our understanding of God will change. Our thinking of God will change. We won't see God as far away. We'll see God right here. We won't see God as punishing or a God of hate. We'll see a God of love. We won't see God as a God of fear, but a God of love. We won't see God as a God of war, but we'll see God as a God of peace. Because our thinking of him will change. Because we have sought the kingdom of God and not sought a government mindset of the GOP or the Democratic Party. We have not sought a mindset. We've sought the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We've sought the name of Jesus, whose name is above every name. And at his name, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. So there's not a different it's not a different person. It says every. So when it says every, that means everybody. And so the same word here used for mind, phronio, is used again in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, which says this. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So in order for us to advance the kingdom of God, we must have the mind of Christ within us. I heard this great rapper say one time, I have the mind of Christ, which is the consciousness of God. If you don't know who that is, I want you to ask who that is, and someone will tell you who that is. But when we have the mind of Christ, when our mind is focused on things above, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is holy, whatsoever is of good rapport, whatsoever is true, when we have a mind change, then we have a life change. See, the people on January 6th had a mind change because they were too busy focused on destruction. But let me tell you this. If you serve a God who encourages fear or encourages hate, then guess what? We don't serve the same God. We don't. Because God is a God of love. So you can't sit here and tell me that okay, well, God told me to do this when it doesn't benefit everybody. And we're going to talk about this next week. We're going to talk about how your decisions that you make, they benefit more than one person. See, when you make the wrong decision, it comes with consequences. When you make the right decision, even when you make the right decision, it comes with good consequences called rewards. And so God is wanting us to make sure that we focus on the kingdom of God and seek the kingdom of God so that we can have a total life change. We can have a total life change. And so it's important for us to have the mind of Christ, because when we have the mind of Christ, which is a consciousness of God, then we can know the things of God. We can move the way God wants us to move. We can say what God wants us to say. We can think how God wants us to think. And so it's important for us to set our mind on Christ. Set our mind on things above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. And so being on one accord takes agreement, right? Being on one accord takes having the same mind. And lastly, being on one accord takes having the same love. It takes having the same love. Philippians chapter 2, verse 2 says this. It says, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. So when you operate in your oneness with God, he will teach you how to love. And I said that earlier. When we operate in our oneness with God, he will teach us how to love. See, a lot of times the reason why we sabotage relationships and we sabotage friendships and we sabotage opportunities is because we have not become one with God, and we have not allowed him to teach us how to love. Because when he teaches us how to love, then we won't sabotage a relationship, we won't sabotage a friendship, we won't hurt people knowingly. You know, and we will even try to avoid hurting people unknowingly. I know that's like really impossible to do. I mean, because sometimes you'll say something. Sometimes I say things and people are like, wow, that hurt. And so I have to take inventory of my heart and to see what my intention was. And so when someone says that, you have to be quick to apologize. You know, you have to be quick to say, hey, look, I'm sorry. That wasn't my intention. You know, but you have to check the intention of your heart, because if the intention of your heart is wrong, then of course what you say is going to always be wrong. And so John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17, and we're going to read these scriptures, but we're going to expound on them next week, because week one is 2021 with God, week two is 2021 accord, and week three I'll tell you next week. I can't tell you just now, but I'll tell you next week. So this is what it says in John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. Verse 9 says, I love each of you with the same love that the Father loves me. You must continually let my love nourish your hearts. If you keep my commands, you will live in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands, for I continually live nourished and empowered by his love. Did you hear that? So this is Jesus talking. It says, Jesus is saying, for I continually live nourished and empowered by his love. So love nourishes you and love empowers you. So when you are empowered and nourished by love, then you don't have to run on empty. See, a lot of people are running on empty, and we're trying to love by running on empty. But when you keep the Father's command, you will continually live nourished and empowered by his love. Verse 11, my purpose for telling you these things is so that the joy that I experience will fill your hearts with overflowing gladness. Verse 12, so this is my command. Love each other deeply as much as I have loved you. We know how much God loved us. We know how much Jesus loved us. He gave his life for us. So the scripture says, love each other deeply as much as I have loved you. For the greatest love of all is a love that sacrifices all. And this great love is demonstrated when a person sacrifices his life for his friends. Verse 14, you show that you are my intimate friends when you obey all that I command you. I have never called you servants because a master doesn't confide in his servants. And servants don't always understand what the master is doing. But I call you my most intimate friends, for I reveal to you everything that I've heard from my Father. Verse 16, you didn't choose me, but I've chosen and commissioned you to go into the world to bear fruit. There's that fruit. We talked about fruit last week. We're going to talk about fruit again next week. And your fruit will last, because whatever you ask of my Father for my sake, he will give it to you. So this is my parting command. Love one another deeply. And guess what? We're going to end on that note. We're going to end right there, because we're going to pick up right there. Love one another deeply. And so in order to be on one accord and advance the kingdom, we must be in agreement, have the same mind, and have the same love. And so look, God wants us to be on one accord. God wants us to have a focus on the kingdom. God wants us to seek first the kingdom. God doesn't want us to seek a government. God doesn't want us to seek a stimulus check. God doesn't want us to seek a winner of who the presidential election or who the Senate election. God doesn't want us to seek those things. God wants us to seek first the kingdom of God. Because look, God cannot be first. And the second thing is God can't be second. So God always wants to be first. Did I say God can't be first? God wants to be first. God always must be first. And God does not want to be second. Now, I don't want nobody to say, well, Pastor Jay said God don't want to be first. Yes, God wants to be first. That's why we talked about 2021 with God. Because first things first, God wants us to have a relationship with him. And so I know I said this earlier, and we know we offered the invitation earlier, but if you just listen to this and you desire to have a relationship with God because you are tired, you're just really tired of trying to figure out what's going to happen next in government. You're just kind of just stressed about it. You're just like, wow, what's going to happen next in 2021? Guess what? You don't have to worry about what's going to happen next when you have a relationship with God, because he loves you that much and he's going to keep you. And so when you have a relationship with him, then he's going to nourish you and empower you with his love. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to nourish and empower you with his love. And when we are nourished and empowered by his love, then guess what? We can let others know about that love, and we can bring more to Christ because our life has changed. And so if you desire to be saved this morning, I want you to text the word saved to the number coming up on the screen. Just S-A-V-E-D to the number coming up on the screen, and someone will get in contact with you, and we will pray the prayer of salvation with you, and we will rejoice with you. Also, if you are watching this and you desire to connect with NBCC, you hear the sound, you hear the clarion call, you hear the connection, you feel the connection, and you want to, you can feel a connection through online means. So if you are watching this and you desire to be a part of our community, of our family, look, we're going to be a multi-ethnic church. We're going to be a multi-generational church, and we're going to be a church of love, because I believe that God is really calling us to really love one another. It doesn't matter if we don't have the same skin color. It doesn't matter if we don't dress the same. It doesn't matter if you don't have fancy clothes. Now, that's irrelevant to God. God just wants